The pandemic has fundamentally changed our relationship with spaces, especially our homes. While sitting at home is driving some of us crazy, it's giving others the chance to create. I'm talking, of course, about home haunters. In this year, when so many haunts have gone dark, home haunters are seriously stepping up to bring joy to communities all around. And so on today's special, let's take a road trip to four home haunts. We'll hear about the obsession.
Once the kids go to bed, I'm out there for like 4 hours just tweaking lights. And I love that. It's just, that's like one of my favorite parts.
It's always in your mind, stuff you want to do, stuff you can change, and stuff you can make better.
The learning.
I've never ever, up until I bought my house, really ever used power tools. So most of it's self-taught, YouTube, and a lot of trips to Home Depot and Harbor Freight.
My first thought was to maybe order a sticker and just have them as big stickers, but that's like the most expensive thing I've ever seen in my life, so. Instead of doing that, we just ended up going to the store and bought a $20 piece of plywood, and each one took well over 10 hours to hand paint.
And why it matters so much to these haunters.
It's so fun to me to see people come to something I made, you know, where you put all this time and effort and then you open just a bunch of people hoard your front yard. You're like, I did this. You know, it feels super good.
Every night, like I honestly feel like I'm running an amusement park.
I had to do something this year, and I pretty much put both of them together. You know, I put my building together along with my need to be on the ship again because I felt like I was missing something this whole time.
Like, I think I've met the nicest people in the entire world doing this, which is something I did not expect.
From the Haunted Attraction Network, I'm Philip. Buckle up. Our first stop is Hull House in Buena Park.
Bill Galvin, I do Hull House Haunt in Buena Park, California. The name I got, it's from a movie called Night of the Demons. I don't know if you're familiar with, but I haven't fully fleshed out the background story. Essentially, it's an old funeral home that burnt down. And each year on Halloween night, the spirits awaken in the cemetery and all hell breaks loose, I guess, if you will. Classic cemetery. That was like one of my big goals this year, is just a straight dose of good old fashioned Halloween. You know, and even down to the lighting, the blues, the greens, and try to get a little orange in there. Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about the build process. You know, when did you get started on this and how long has it taken?
I everything kind of came in phases. So 2017, I started building the fence. And so for that year, I had the fence. I had some things over my windows that looked like it was boarded up. And the tombstones and a few skeletons that, you know, the ones you get from Home Depot. And what I do is I just spray paint them with like a kind of like a burnt umber type color, and just scratched it all off. So, you know, they look not corpsed, but they looked pretty good. And at the end of the year, I'm just sitting there. I got this nice fence and then I got these tombstones, and I'm just like, it's still in front of my house. And I always, when I was a kid, I always wanted to be a set decorator for movies. And so just like the total immersion is like kind of what I was going for. So the next year, what I did was I built that facade. Now, a little background on me, I've never ever, up until I bought my house, really ever used power tools. You know, my dad was a butcher for 30 years, and he didn't teach me shit. So most of it's self-taught, YouTube, and a lot of trips to Home Depot and Harbor Freight. And so 2018, June, I started in June with the facade, and because I had just had a little baby girl, so I knew it was going to take me longer. Usually for me, and I'm sure for most other haunters, July 4th is the go time, you know, is when you start getting excited. But I started that in June, and then the biggest thing on that one was painting, because it looks like clapboards, but it's not actually, I didn't actually use wood. It's just, it's all how it's painted that made it look that way. And if you look up close, you can see all my mistakes, you know, most of which are covered with black paint. And the thing about Hull House is it's really just me. And I have some help setting up like the big, you know, the flats and the facade and all that. I had some help from some other home hunters, but for the most part, it's just me. So last year was terrible, because it's like right now, I wouldn't even have time to do this interview. I would be out there trying to slap up some walls and stuff. So at the end of the year last year, I was pretty bummed out. Just because it felt like work. You know what I mean? And I'm sure most professional hunters feel the same way. You lose that aspect, and that's why I'm glad this year I set it up and I just left it. Like, that's what you're getting.
And how has the response been this year? You know, for you just setting it up and leaving it,
Friday, Saturday nights has been crazy. And the town, the city, not the city, but the neighborhood that I live in is pretty much quiet. Not a lot of people decorating. We've got more since we've moved in, but it's every single night now, which is great. I love it.
Are you wishing that you still did the walkthrough, or are now you thinking you like this where you can actually enjoy a little bit more of the reactions from people?
No, hell no. I'm never doing that again. It was too much. And here's the other thing too, is on Halloween night, it used to be my nephew who would come help me scare. Well, he was at college like last year. So I didn't have anyone to scare with. But on Halloween, I was in there scaring. I didn't even get to see people enjoying it. And in years previous, that was the day that you would see people, enjoy and for the most part, be out there seeing what you put your heart and soul into, And so I didn't even get to do that.
I guess, why do you do it? What is it? Why? Yeah. What is it?
I don't know. I don't know. And like back to like the each year, I just want to one up myself. Like the things that I used to get so like, oh man, that's the coolest thing I ever seen, And then now it's like, oh yeah, I did that. I did this. So it's like, I don't know. Why do any of us do it? I've always loved horror movies. That was a big part of it. Halloween as a kid, it wasn't anything super crazy. We always did something. My parents never really decorated or cared, cared as much as my kids' parents do, or myself. I don't know. Maybe seeing Hocus Pocus when I was a little kid and just loving, just that the atmosphere, the lore behind Halloween night. I don't know. I'm getting goosebumps now thinking about it, though.
I love Hocus Pocus. I mean, I do. For me, when I was home hunting, what I loved was just like, you see like whole families of the parents or you always get those where like, is it safe for kids? And we're like, no, they're going to get scared. And they're like, it's good for them. And I'm like, what? No, I just told you. And then the parents bring them in and then everyone's like, holy, and like they're just like cursing and they're freaking out and they're like, wow. And it's like, I just loved seeing that. Like it really was like electrifying. And that really was like, it was worth it. At the end of the year, it was like, this was worth it. But at the beginning of October, I was like, this.
Yeah. I mean, like, I remember being a kid, like, I just always obsessed with like amusement parks and like, putting on a show of some sort. I remember as a kid, like, we would go to Universal Studios as a family. And I remember, like, at one time, the whole side of my house I made into like the Backdraft ride. You remember that? Like as a kid, I put a white sheet up and an orange light behind it with a fan, trying to make fake fire. Never ended up looking that good, of course. And then making like different sets and stuff like that. It was always like super fun to me. And every night, like I honestly feel like I'm running an amusement park. I love powering down. I love powering up. I love tweaking lights. It's essentially just putting on a show for me. And I get to feel like I'm running, Disneyland or something like that.
That's like what Halloween is about. It's like the community and the excitement and people doing all of this, like just to give something to people.
I'd probably do it just even if anyone, or even if no one saw it, to be quite honest, I get so much enjoyment out of it. I'm a mile away from Knott's Scary Farm. So usually in years past, like as I'm setting up, I get to hear the screams. While I'm setting up, and it's just something about that moment. Like I love the 2-week buildup to Halloween when I'm sitting there just tweaking lights for, hours each night. Once the kids go to bed, I'm out there for like 4 hours just tweaking lights. And I love that. It's just, that's like one of my favorite parts. I only have Instagram account for Whole House. And over the last 2 years, like just all the people that I've met, it's been great, Cause I mean, I grew up with really only one friend that got it, that understood this, No one from my family did. so just meeting people and, people like yourself and being able to talk about this stuff that I spent a lot of time, quite frankly, looking at and researching it's great. I love it.
Our second stop isn't actually too far away. We're heading just down the road to 1870 Haunt Manor. This haunter also grew up in the shadow of Knott's Scary Farm. But he was a little too young to scare act, so instead, he built his own haunt.
My name is Michael Fernandez. I started 1870 Haunt Manor about 2 years ago. The reason I started it was because I originally wanted to be a scare actor, first slider. I was inspired first by Ghost Town, of course, when I first went. I was just so hooked. And then after that, I was like, you know, I want to do this. So I looked around. No one would put me on as a scare actor because I was so young, which I understood. So I'm like, you know what? Let me make my own, which I did. Last year, I made a maze in the front yard. And then, yeah, it just went from there.
Tell us a little bit about the facade and like, why'd you go with that design choice?
Well, I went with that design choice because I thought to myself, this is the only year I'm going to be doing a display because I usually do a maze and a walkthrough. So I said, let me go big on the facade. This way I'm able to repurpose it for future years. And with that design specifically, it's super interchangeable. I can make it any theme I want pretty much. I can make it a church, pirate themed, anything. It could work with that style paint scheme and the way I designed it. So that's really what I went for.
And can you tell us a little bit about the process this year?
The facade probably took about 2 months. I'm already working on next year's, honestly.
Are you ever looking out and you're like, this is done? Or do you always feel like there's more to add?
Absolutely not. I mean, every time I go out there, I'm like, oh, this could be different. This could be, I could put that there. It's always in your mind, stuff you want to do, stuff you can change, and stuff you can make better.
Why do you, continue to build the display? You know, why do you think?
So fun for me to build sets. It's so fun to me to see people come to something I made, you know, where you put all this time and effort and then you open just a bunch of people hoard your front yard. You're like, I did this. You know, it feels super good. I have a lot of fun just interacting with people, talking to people. And that's really why I do it. And I love Halloween too. So I love it. It's great.
During the night when you're open and people are showing up, like what is your favorite part of it? Interacting or watching?
Oh, my favorite part's got to be when our scare actors, our monsters, do an amazing job of just scaring people, you know, and which I really didn't think was going to happen because it's just a display. But I have sliders and just I have a lot of monsters with dialogue, you know. So when I make it a personal experience for someone when they come, that's really what I can see it. You know, I'll be on the other side of the street and I'll watch people just have a great time, you know, being scared, you know, making a personal experience for them that they'll remember, you know, that's what I love.
Can you give me a specific example of one of those? Like tell us a story.
Oh my God. There was this family that came last weekend and they brought two kids. They had a girl and a boy, the boy being the youngest. And my slider, Nick, my monster, Nick, he kept sliding at that little kid and the kid kept running down the street, you know? And he kept coming back for more. I was just like, oh my God, this kid loves it. And he smiled on his face. It was awesome. Another cool experience was this grown dude, who's probably like 50 years old. He comes, I see the biggest smile on his face. It was so awesome. It was great. To all my scare actors and monsters. I mean, I can only build so much, but they make it come alive. So if you guys are watching this, you guys are awesome. I really appreciate you guys because they don't get paid. They do this all for volunteer and they love it. They drive here, some from far, some from close, but they love doing it. So shout out to them.
So far, we've heard a lot about community and inspiration and what these home haunters are trying to do to celebrate Halloween. Our next haunter couldn't go to work this year due to the pandemic. So he recreated a memorial in his yard. Next up, the Gray Phantom in Norwalk.
My name's Ernie. My haunt this year is the Gray Phantom, which is located here in Norwalk, California. It's a sort of a replica of the Gray Ghost, which was the Queen Mary in the 1940s. But I have my own twist on it, so now it's the Gray Phantom.
I love the Queen Mary, and obviously, I know we all know a lot of people involved in that. And I love the team there. And I've gone every year, and this year not doing it has been really sad. And then I think I saw the first picture that you put on Instagram by somebody else had reshared it. And I was like, oh. I mean, it was just one of those moments where I was like, the Queen Mary lives. Like it's just so like to see it, to see this display this year is so just a heartstring for me. And I think a lot of the people in the area
being COVID is this year, unfortunately, and all the stuff that's going on with it. You know, I needed an outlet, and Halloween is like I light up for Halloween, you know, like the rest of the year, I'm sort of like, I'm like a vampire. I'm asleep for, you know, for most of the year. And all of a sudden the sun, the day night or the nighttime comes out and I
you know, I come out of my coffin and I start building. So every year for the past, who knows, like 10 years or so, I've always built like either a display, or I've always built some type of maze with my family here at my house. But for the past 2 years, I've been a part of different productions. Last year, I ended up being hired by the Queen Mary to manage B340, which was one of the maces on the ship. So I was on the ship literally every night from 4 to 2 in the morning, just, you know, managing, looking over the actors and looking over the ship itself. And there's such a presence on the ship. Like, it made me feel like I was at home practically. So I had to do something this year, and I pretty much put both of them together. You know, I put my building together along with my need to, you know, to be on the ship again, because I, you know, I felt like I was missing something this whole time. So I put them, combined them, and that's how I thought of the Gray Phantom. You know, the Gray Phantom just started out as drawings practically. This was one of the rooms that we were going, that I was originally going to make. Mm-hmm. I decided not to, because it was, I changed it into the hotel room, which is what we have right now. So it was more of just like an empty, like sort of like dark room that looked like iron was everywhere and stuff like that. But then we changed it up, and I decided to, you know, I had windows, like plexiglass windows that I had found, and I said there has to be a way to use them. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to make a fancy hotel room out of it, because you don't, you know, the Queen Mary is literally mostly like hotel area too. Mm-hmm. So we decided to go with that. Let me see if I can find that here. So this was my original drawing of the hotel room.
I love it.
And it literally came out the same way as you can, you know, a lot of people have seen already. It came out exactly like that. And it was amazing, because I had a fireplace. I had the windows that are right here, as you can see. And then I have the curtains that come down the middle. And this was the whole idea behind the whole projection behind the window. Because once we had everything set up, it just sort of fell into place. And I was able to play around with the projectors and see what fit best as far as like where they can go and how they would work best. And then it progressed from there. So like every day I was thinking about like, oh, well, how am I going to build the boiler room? What am mm-hmm. I going to put in it? How am I going to make it look? And it changed into like different types of boiler room, like engines and all that kind of stuff. And then from that point, we just evolved from there. And the ship became what it was today, which was this 15-foot by 12-foot, you know, monster. It's in the front yard that I still don't know where I'm going to store. That's another thing to tackle. But it evolved, and every day, like I was mentioning, there's always something new I'm thinking about to put into it. Mm-hmm. So like some of the music that's there right now, I didn't have last week. Some of the there was a projector that I literally just added like the third day after we had already opened, which was on the second story of the ship. And a lot of people come from far away, like Riverside and mm-hmm. stuff, like cities like that. I definitely want to give as much as possible and show them, you know, what Dark Harbor would have been, if anything, you know, it's give them a little piece of that.
How long did it take from when you first started in your sketching to when you first opened for the display?
So from point A to point B, it was just about a month. We started in the mid-September. And then from that point, we finished when we opened, which was the 11th, if I'm not mistaken. We did everything as quick, but also as good as we can to get the effect that we wanted, pretty much. So a lot of stuff that's out there right now can, like, there's a lot of tarping, which we put into effect. There's a lot of frames that are, like, thinner than what, you know, they could have been. So it also helps with storage in the end. You know, we can just fold everything up, or we could just take it apart and combine it and make it a very nice pile. We weren't done until we're done. And even right now, like we mentioned, we're not done yet. So we're still going.
Our little home haunt road trip is rounding to an end, but we have one more stop to make. Everything changed for this next haunter when he had kids. But luckily, the pandemic gave him some time to bond with the family and do what else besides expand his yard display. This time, we're heading over to Austin, Texas for the Real Ghostbusters home haunt.
This is John. I live in Austin, Texas. Today, we're talking about my Real Ghostbusters setup that I have. It's actually the first one that I've ever done, and was Real Ghostbusters, and we've just been adding on to it over the past several years.
I did not realize it was the first one that you've done. That makes it so much more impressive.
Thanks. Yeah, we started it last year technically. I've wanted to do it for a while, but my wife had other ideas, I guess. She always wanted to do her own thing, and she's very like cutesy Halloween. So she finally let me do what I wanted to do. So we're pretty excited about it. So what we've come to over the past couple of years and basically have set up this year is we have the four Ghostbusters, Winston, Ray, Egon, and Peter, and they're fighting Samhain, one of the big ghosts from the cartoon. And the big goal was to make it reflect the cartoon from the 80s. And I wanted to have everything in the yard come from the cartoon. I didn't want anybody just like obscure decorations or anything. So last year, those were the four core ones that we had made and then added on to it this year. Now we have Ecto-1 and we actually have a whole cutout so the kids can take pictures behind Ecto-1 and we have it set up so they can have the whole scene in the background. We added Janine, which is one of my daughter's contributions. Really big, really wanted that. We have Slimer hanging out and let me see. Oh, the big guy, we have Boogeyman, the piece that all the other 35-year-olds that drive by kind of yell at me for whenever they see it on the road and talk about how much it scared them whenever they were kids. And then we added a few projections. So we have Slimer in the background, which I got from YouTube. It's a Slimer projection of him just being chased around with the proton streams, which looks pretty cool at night. And then I made this in Final Cut. I took the intros from the different Ghostbuster cartoon intros and the ghost Moogly is his name. So we cut him out. He's about, I guess he's about 15 feet tall and he's projected in the background walking. And then it does the logo of the Ghostbusters. And then we also have the proton streams, which we rigged up and, those came out pretty good. So we rigged those up and then used some different lights, some stream lights that we found and, yeah, rigged it all up. So they're all busting Samhain. And we wanted to make it look like a giant scene as if you were watching the TV show. It would just, you drive by and be like, oh, like, I remember that. I remember that show. And it's definitely had that effect. It's been really neat. As far as making them and stuff, we couldn't. So when I originally wanted to do this, I, of course, looked on Amazon to just see if something was already out there that we could just buy and do it. And I quickly found out it didn't exist. So we started creating on my Instagram. I decided just to start an Instagram out of the blue. I didn't want to have any friends on it, nobody that I knew. I just wanted to see if I documented it, if anybody would even care. And really just for me to document it and see the progress that I've made over the years. So we started with an iPad and I just drew out the figures and I took a bunch of different inspirations. So I would use, I think Egon came straight from the Marvel UK cover. And then I took a picture of Venkman as he was of the toy that I have and he was holding his proton. He was holding his wand out and then I took a picture of that. And then I went in there and drew it inside of Procreate. And, yeah, I did all the characters like that. I just wanted to make sure that it looked like I could piece them all together as a scene. So if you follow me on Instagram, I actually took a picture of the front yard and then I placed them around to make it look like it was a scene. And then, my first thought was to maybe order a sticker and just have them as big stickers, but that's like the most expensive thing I've ever seen in my life. So instead of doing that, we just ended up going to the store and bought a $20 piece of plywood and drew them all out on the piece of plywood. And I tried to document everything also in case anybody wanted to copy me, because I'm sure I'm not the only Ghostbusters fan out there. Mm-hmm. So I put all my templates and everything out there just if anybody else was trying to do something on a budget. So we just projected the outlines on the plywood, traced them out and then cut them out. So they're, each figure is about 4 feet tall and it's on 1/2-inch plywood. And then the painting was a little more intense than I anticipated, especially because I'm very like detail oriented. So that was insane. Each one took well over 10 hours to hand paint, but I'm sure somebody else could do it faster. I've never done anything like this. So painted them out one at a time and put at least 10 hours in each one and sealed them all up and put them together. And then the proton streams, you know, that we came up with a cool little idea. Those are just PVC pipe, took some fluorescent spray paint and then got some streamlights or rope lights. I'm sorry, I keep calling them streamlights, but got some rope lights from Walmart, found them in the clearance aisle. And rig those up and just try to make them look as much like a cartoon as possible. And Yeah, putting it on Instagram has probably been the best move that I made, because actually the input that I got from people on Instagram, just going through it, has been incredible. Like, whenever I added one character, they're like, hey, do this other character, but do him like this. So he's doing this. It's like, yeah, great idea. And just fill in with all kinds of comments. Like, I think I've met the nicest people in the entire world doing this, which is something I did not expect at all.
There's a lot of intentionality. And so I have to ask, like, why the Ghostbusters?
Yeah. I guess any 35-year-old or 30-year-old just kind of gets it, I guess. So originally, like, my wife and I, whenever we were dating and when we were married, before we had kids, we were crazy into Halloween and always wanted it scary and always had these big Halloween parties. And then we had kids and, you know, of course, everything kind of changes, whether you like it or not, everything changes. And they just weren't into the scary stuff. Like, we couldn't go by a dog barking and my daughter and I get scared. So Ghostbusters is like the one thing that we just bonded over as a family. And I was really trying not to force them into it. And I don't think I did, but I'm sure I forced it a little bit, but they just latched onto it. And it's something we watched together every Saturday morning. Whenever we'd wake up, we'd put on the real Ghostbusters DVDs. And it was just something we came together, and it was great because they could be into monsters, but also like have a fix for it. Like, oh, we just bust them. Like, we can see the ghosts and we're not afraid. Like, we can participate in it. And it was really neat how it worked out come Halloween time, going door to door. And there was these scary monsters, but then the kids could just be like, oh, we're busting them. And they were dressed in their little Ghostbuster costumes. And yeah, just sitting around and thinking of projects to do, especially during COVID is when we really added on to it. Like, the original concept was pretty easy. And I thought that's where it would end, was just those four and, you know, okay, like, we're good. And then COVID hit and we're all trapped inside the house and we needed art projects to do. And my daughter was like, hey, we need Janine. Like, I don't have a girl that's out there. So it just took off from there. And then of course, Instagram, like, the people that have been chiming in, it's like, hey, what about this? What about this? And then Boogeyman came up and then I put a few pictures out there and we kind of talked about it through the comment section, and it turned into what it was. So definitely a labor of love. Like, the intent was not to really have anybody even notice it. It was just like, let's do this fun project and let's just have fun doing it. And maybe the neighborhood will appreciate it, especially the other 30 something year olds that live down here.
Thank you for joining me on this little road trip. We'll be back tomorrow and every day through Halloween with another special. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend and drop us a review, won't you? Until tomorrow, stay scary.
This is a Haunted Attraction Network production.